C1AP. Number 23A.
We just wanted to start with Absolute Christian Science, and then we had the break, so I start again. The Revelator says, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure. To measure the city, the gates, and the wall. The city lies foursquare, and then he measured the length, is as large as its breadth, and so on. You can see, for the second time, we have a measuring, whereas in the 11th chapter, we had the measuring of the temple, because it was given to him a reed like unto a rod, like a rod of iron. It was an iron way of measuring. That's always when we use calculation in order to correct mistakes. And there with the temple, he had to use that. He had to measure the temple. He didn't have to measure that which was without the temple, and had to measure it in order to find out what is wrong and what is right, to find out that it is not enough to go to the 3.5, that then the witnesses will be dead as a dodo, and only that if we go above the 3.5, that then the witnesses will be resurrected. So you can see it was on the level of Christian Science, where we use the calculation in order to find out the mistakes and correct the mistake. Here it is a golden reed to measure, and it measures only the city. It begins to calculate in spiritual values, in absolute spiritual values. It's there where in arithmetic we just use arithmetic in order to calculate rightly and not in order to find out the mistakes and correct the mistakes. So he began to calculate with spiritual values. What are those spiritual values? The spiritual values which we have now with the city are the categories of the city. Therefore, he began to calculate with the Word and with the Christ and with Christianity. And you can see easily, oh no, I have to tame myself, or I go on, talk about the whole chart. Oh, no. All right, let's have it. He had the city four square as the Word of life, as the Christ truth, as Christianity love, as divine principle love. Now he takes those four sides as his great values and begins to calculate with them. So he says, I have not only life, bang, I have life, truth, and love. He begins to calculate or combine life, truth, and love and says, if I have life, truth, and love, I have the Word. If I calculate differently, I get the Christ. If I calculate truth, life, and love, I get the Christ. If I calculate again differently and I have life and love, then I have Christianity. If I calculate again differently with those four and calculate truth and love, I have the science of Absolute Christian Science. So here he begins to calculate. As I said, his symbolism is perhaps not so clear, but still John Dolly interprets it that way. So he shows first the Word of life, truth, and love, and gives the symbol of the wall that has the measure of a man and is like an angel. Let's drop the specialities and let's stick to the generalities so that we just know what the picture is, because in my level book you have that whole thing laid out in the modern language. That which the Revelator has only given in those symbolism, very hidden away in the remoteness, that we have presented in the level book very explicitly. So then he shows the other calculation, the other measuring of absolute values, the calculation of truth, life, and love as the Christ, through the symbol of the building, which had a wall life and which was like a jasper stone, truth, and which was like pure gold, love. Then he gives another calculation of of the synonymous term as Christianity of life and love, and gives the symbol there of the foundations of the city, and shows there those two foundations of life and love. So let's forget the symbolism, just know that he began to see that when we have divine science as the one life, the Word, as the one truth, the Christ, as the one love, Christianity, that then absolute Christian science can come in and say, now I begin to calculate with them. I have now a golden reed to measure, and so in absolute Christian science you calculate those three and say the Word can be expressed through life, truth, and love, the Christ through truth, life, and love, and Christianity through life and love, and science through truth and love. And always when the Revelator comes to science, Mrs. Eddy picks it up. So at that point where he begins to show absolute Christian science in its science sense, Mrs. Eddy says, that's what the Revelator says, and I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And so we contemplate now that point of truth and love, and see how he can now, with his calculation at this point, demonstrate the perfect idea man, the compound idea man, the compounded spiritual individuality called man. You see, up to this point, going up the city, nobody was talking about how we can demonstrate man. But because that was a sense of understanding, first God. Now on the descending way, we always get the demonstration of the holy city. We saw it on the level of divine science, that he said it's beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Huh? And thus began to demonstrate it as the Word of Revelation, as the Christ, as the Savior, and as Christianity, which would bind mankind in one solemn union, and which would show, finally, science as that peaceful sea of harmony where everything can be calculated and resolved. But he hasn't yet shown what man is, because man is at the point of idea. Not the point of the synonymous term. So absolute Christian science, you know, is always that, where the relationship between principle and idea is shown, where therefore the demonstration of the principle as the idea is manifest and demonstrated. So here we will get the demonstration of man. But how? And if one reads it, first one thinks, yeah, she talks all around about something else, but about the real thing, until one wakes up and says, no, it is because we have not realized properly what really would mean the idea man. So let's read together, perhaps a bit quickly, because we can do that, the first paragraph or so. So we have that sense that there is no temple therein. See, on the ascending way, it was all about the temple, about the first organization, about the science of physical harmony. But now we come, there is no temple therein, just as in the church, there is no temple. So, Mrs. Eddy explains, there was no temple, that is, no material structure in which to worship God. For he must be worshipped in spirit and in love. All right, we know that. The word temple also means body. All right, we know that. Because the Revelator was familiar with Jesus' use of the word. As when Jesus spoke of this material body as the temple to be temporarily rebuilt. Can you see, the moment she goes back to Jesus, she talks about the 5,000-year period. She never presents Jesus in the 6,000 or 7,000-year period, or the Revelator. So, again, going back, it says, well, the Revelator was familiar with the 5,000-year period, with Jesus, who said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will build it up. It was all about that the temple, the body, could be temporarily rebuilt. What further indication need we of the real man's incorporeality than this, that John saw heaven and earth with no temple body therein? Can you see how she makes again the difference between Jesus' 5,000-year period office and mission, and then the now, the 6,000-year office and mission? There is no temple therein, there is no body therein. She leads now thought gently up to the point that she says, man has nothing to do with body. And if she first can show that man has nothing to do with a corporeal sense, then afterwards she really can let the cat out of the bag. Huh? Then she tells really what man is. But she had to prepare over nearly a page the thought that we finally give up the sense that man has anything to do with the body. 21. The kingdom of God is within you. That means it's within reach of man's consciousness here. Isn't it funny? We are in Absolute Christian Science. At the moment that we are in Absolute Christian Science, she speaks again about consciousness. You remember we had in the way uphill all the way, we had in Absolute Christian Science all about consciousness, that is a state of consciousness. When we come down from divine science to Absolute Christian Science, it's consciousness again. Watch these things, because these things indicate categories. See if we cannot reason that thought is a category by itself, that idea is a completely different category, and that consciousness is a completely different category, and that oneness of being sense is a different category, we can never find a true system. We can never find a science. If we think, well, thought is a concept, idea is a concept that belongs to the whole dictionary, and consciousness is another concept, and cannot classify them according to their classification, we can never have a system, we can never build a science. We must know the species and genus, just as a botanist knows that. And therefore, only then when we know the categories, things fall into place. Then we can see what is a lower category, what is a higher level, what is still a higher level, and what is still a higher level. And that builds a structure. So this kingdom of God is within you, is within the reach of man's consciousness here, and now you have idea, and the spiritual idea reveals it. Can you see that out of that consciousness comes the spiritual idea, comes that specific true idea which is necessary for a demonstration? We'll see that as we go on. In divine science, man possesses this recognition of harmony consciously. They still have conscious in proportion to his understanding of God. So up to this point, what has she said? She wanted to introduce there is no temple therein. Temple stands for body. There is no body in this city four square. There is no body in that divine consciousness. It is incorporeal. Therefore, what is the implication? So she goes on and takes up now that also God is incorporeal, not only man. The term Lord, as used in our version of the Old Testament, is often synonymous with Jehovah and expresses the Jewish concept not yet elevated to deific apprehension through spiritual transfiguration. She takes up the term Lord God Almighty, which she interprets in that verse. Says, what does Lord mean? Well, she said, Lord in the Old Testament means Jehovah, but here the Lord means something else than the old Jehovistic concept of the Lord, of the Jehovistic document. This is not from the Jehovistic doctrine. So she has to bring out, don't think that this Lord here is the same Lord as in the second record of creation. This is another Lord, namely a spiritual concept. So, she said, it has not yet been elevated through spiritual transfiguration, yet the word gradually approaches a higher meaning. The human sense of deity yields. See, the human sense of deity, the old Jehovistic sense of Jehovah, yields. To what? To the divine sense. This human sense of deity yields to the divine sense, even as, this is important, even as the material sense of personality yields to the incorporeal sense of God and men. So, you see, in the first paragraph she was dealing with the incorporeal sense of men. Now in this paragraph she's dealing with the incorporeal sense of the Jehovah. And then, having an incorporeal sense of God and men, then it's idea. I don't know if that rejoices your heart or if it makes any big impact. To think that here she shows very nicely, step by step, and say, look here, man has nothing to do with the body. Look here, the Lord God has nothing to do with the corporeal sense of God, but is an incorporeal concept, both of God and man. What is God and man if I, can you say, incorporealize it? If I take the corporeal sense of God away and the corporeal sense of man away, what is left? What is left? It's like with the Cheshire cat, that only the green is left, and then afterwards even the green disappears. There is nothing left about the old concept of God and man. What is left, she says, is only infinite principle and infinite idea. As if she would say, look here, you only have to deal with infinite principle and infinite idea. Such a thing as God and man, which you have anyway as a corporeal concept, does not exist. It would mean to us that finally we should accept the very simple statement that instead of God, we have a divine principle, an infinite principle. Instead of talking and thinking about people, we have ideas. So the whole people universe disappears, and we have only a consciousness and a universe that deals with infinite principle and the infinite idea. Why on earth are we still thinking about people and bothered about people? Still going back to the tribal history of the 3,000-year period, and talking about people and what people do and how they demonstrate and how they do not demonstrate God, how they behave God-like, how they do not behave God-like. What on earth have we to do with that? They are corporeal concepts of God and man. Let's get rid of that. Well, most people say, well, this is an ostrich policy, putting your head into the sand and not looking at the situation. It isn't. It isn't at all if. And out comes the if. It isn't at all if we have ascended in understanding first through Christian science, absolute Christian science, to the point of divine science. Then when we have done the ascending way, then we can easily go out from the divine principle love and see that that divine principle love has only one principle and an infinite idea, and that's all what constitutes God and the universe. And therefore then we must not think that our consciousness has no impact, that it is world fremd. That it is, what is the term that you use when you say that it has nothing to do with the world, that it is, well, perhaps you don't have an expression for that, which we have in German, that it has nothing to do with the world, that we are really closing our eyes to reality. that is not true. What is there true here is that we rely then completely on the working of ideas and let these ideas take hold of everything. So here she presents the infinite principle and infinite idea as one father, one principle, with its universal family, the infinite idea, held in the gospel of love. Held in the gospel of love. So you begin to realize that here she begins to show how we demonstrate man, the family of man, the true family of man, which is a family of ideas, and not a family of husband and wife and children and grandchildren, nephews, and I don't know what. The lamb's wife, isn't it interesting? You see, we have to read these things very carefully. We had the lamb's wife before, and there it was what? It was shown that the bride, the lamb's wife, is what? It was shown that it was love wedded to its own spiritual idea. We had that in Divine Science. But the moment she translates it down to absolute Christian Science, she must bring out the demonstration of man as the lamb's wife. Therefore, completely different picture. Therefore, she says, the lamb's wife presents the unity of male and female. Can you see? It presents the unity of male and female, namely man, as being the idea that has male qualities and female qualities. It's no more the higher sense of the bride as the lamb's wife, love wedded to its idea. Can you see that? See that they had a terrific dimensional sense at that time. And only we Western people who have begun to think in that stagnant sense of a one-dimensionality of everything and reasoning in that one-dimensionality, we always say, well, a symbol means one thing. And we have to find out again the mystical sense, the dimensional sense that is in being, that we can see that one thing is only one thing on the same level. But that if we take that one thing and translate it to another level, that it changes its appearance. Just as if you take H2O and you put that onto the level of on the level of, well, that you have three levels, huh? That you can have H2O either as ice or as water or as steam. It's still H2O, but the appearance as it appears differs. It's very different if I have ice or water or steam. Very different. There are different dimensions of the same thing. And the Bible, they knew that. The spiritual revelation, especially also the mystics, they know that. And we as scientists should begin to learn that again, that the whole textbook is written in that dimensional sense. So that a symbol like lamb's wife means on the level of divine science, naturally, that what divine science means, namely the oneness, where love and idea is one. Whereas on the level of absolute Christian science, where you demonstrate man, you must have a sense of the oneness as man, and here shows that oneness consists of that the male and the female qualities constitute one man. So you begin to demonstrate the one man as male and female, no more as two individual natures in one. Presents the unity of male and female as no longer two wedded individuals, but as two individual natures in one. So that's the wife, as the lamb's wife. And now you see, and this compounded spiritual individuality, that's man, huh? Reflects God as father, mother, not as a corporeal being. So that she defines now man, the idea which stands for the symbol man, that that idea is male and female in one, has male qualities and female qualities, and is therefore a compounded, but also an individual. Everyone expresses that male and female qualities differently, a compounded and a spiritual individuality, purely spiritual, never corporeal. In this divinely united spiritual consciousness, we are in absolute Christian Science, in this divinely united, because it's united, male and female, but it shows now that that can be demonstrated with eternal bliss. There is no impediment for that to the perfectibility of God's creation. Can you see the demonstration here? That it shows if we come down from divine science to absolute Christian science, then that divine science demonstrates it on the level of Christian science as the compounded individual consciousness called man. And that to that individual consciousness called man, there is no impediment. That calculation goes on and on. It's just as we would say, the calculus of arithmetic has no impediment. You can go on calculating without repeating yourself for ages. That is no impediment to the perfectibility of God's creation.